Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Anna Martinez, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. And today's episode, we were diving into some standout moments from the previous week and from the previous time in our talk. And I'm very, very much looking forward to the song, which hints us at the intrigue and personality of our special guest for today. Today will join us Ole, and I'm very much looking forward to our talk. Afterwards, I will present a book, which will be a life changer for some of you, and I will end up with results of some really inspiring research. So let's dive into first the song selected by Ole.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay. Cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Look like nothing's gonna change, everything still remains the same. What 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Yes, sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on a darker bay, wasting time.
Welcome to the show, Ole Behrens-Karlsson. I'm very happy to have you here today and the radio show We Empower.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
We had a great start already with a song you sorted out, and it is a special song, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. I mean, we can say a lot of things about this song. What does it resonate you listening to this song?
I think I have two different approaches to this song. One is that it used to be one of the favorite songs of my father, and that I loved very much, and that unfortunately left this world too early 5 years ago. So this is something that, of course, reminds me of him and the time that I had together with him.
Yeah.
On the other side, it's like, you know, I'm a person who's really busy, and this song is something that always keeps me slowing down and taking a bit like an outside perspective on my life and what I'm actually doing at the moment. And that's a very like important song for me in these situations.
Yeah, I think it's very timeless and universal, and it gives a kind of soul-stirring blend of heartfelt, and you put yourself into a completely other world, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's
It
true. And
made, yeah, it
it's
made
so
this with
important
me.
sometimes to just sit down and just relax and rest your bones as he sings.
You describe yourself as a 25 years leverage digitalization for positive impact, and you are a seasoned leader, adaptively fosters organizational growth and innovation. And I mean, if I have to introduce you, and I'd love to do now, I would say much more sentences about you. I mean, you stand really out for transformative force in digitization, and the ones who know you are always bringing this in contact with the countries your name seems to be addicted to, right? Scandinavish, where the digitization sits, where also the collaborative power intelligence sits, where every source sits, which we called innovative, close to or in Europe. And you have a career spanning indeed over 25 years dedicated to making technology a catalyst for meaningful change. You're renowned for driving large-scale digital transformations across diverse sectors, consistently unlocking new avenues for organizational growth and innovation. And you have spearheaded initiatives that modernize processes, enhance customer experiences, and optimize operational efficiencies, setting new industry benchmarks. You're strange, I would say, like from that what I know about you lies not only in your deep technology acumen, but also in your ability to lead and inspire cross-functional teams toward shared goals and fostering a culture by collaboration, which a lot of people talk about, but much little or only little can put this into action and continuous improvement. So you bring a human-centered approach to digitization, ensuring that innovations translate into tangible positive impacts without fear on society and business. And your track record of successfully aligning digital strategies with core values has made you to a go-to leader for navigating the complexities of fast-changing digital landscape, inspiring others through visionary leadership and practical result-driven solutions. And for me, you are a real leader because you're somebody who is really close to the team, but also close, very close to your authentic me, without also jumping over challengers, and being also authentic in these without making this the world has to know about this idea, right?
Yeah, thank you for this nice introduction. I'm feeling flattered.
What would your family, or how would your family describe you if they should?
I think I have two sides in me for the family. So one is, of course, like I'm a driver. I'm a person who drives, organizes things, and keeps the things moving and going. And of course, like this is something that I cannot shave off when I'm coming home. So that's clear. On the other side, I'm also the cook of the family. So, and that's also like one part of me that is like, a way of showing love and care to my friends and family. And by preparing something nice and then sitting together and laughing together, because I think that's also something that is very close to me, that I think like if you can laugh together, you can live together, you can work together. So that's really important to me. And when is not the best time to have a good laugh? When you have dinner or lunch together.
That's right. What is the best recipe, or your best recipe, or where others says, okay, if I think about Ola's cooking, what is it, what comes up?
I think like especially now in this time of the year, it's like bœuf bourguignon. So like a long cooked stew, of course, like with the good wine, of course, with some influences of the French cuisine, and then together like with a very thoroughly done potato mash. So that's something that I really love to do, and I think it's perfect for this like cold time that we're having now. Maybe not the perfect summer dish. There, I have to invent something else.
Yeah, that's right. And what would you say is about this food trend? Because I mean, that recipe you told me, and there's meat in it, so the vegans listening here would say, "Oh my God, what's that?"
Of
Does
course.
it has also a meat-free
Actually, of course, like that's true. I'm eating meat, but I really try to look like for good quality. So we have like an ecological a butcher in the city, in the street next to us, and so I try to at least buy good meat for that, and then really appreciate it. But that's a constant discussion that we're also having, like how to live more healthy, how to reduce, and not only, of course, like from the health perspective or the animal rights perspective, but also from a climate perspective. And one initiative, for example, that I did like several years ago for the German organization was that I changed the practice of having meat at company events. Because especially when you have company events and you have these large buffets, you see that there is a lot of waste and you cannot really like deal with it because you never know how much people will eat and you don't want to have too little food for a company event. So I said, it's okay, we can have a company event, but then let's not waste meat. It doesn't make sense. And I think it was like 5 years ago or even 6 years ago when I did this also together with the first Christmas party and doing a vegetarian Christmas party. That got a lot of attention and also discussion in the company. But until that, like whenever we have a buffet situation, there is no meat.
That's great. And what do you think about this lag meat products? I mean, often there's critics about these lag meat products, just as, for example, they look like meat, but there is a lot of artificial things in it, chemical stuff. So what about the truth of this food?
Yeah, I think like for me, it's more about like high processed food. I want to stay like close to the nature and to the product. And I think everyone who cooks or really loves cooking knows that everything comes with the quality of the product. And so I'm always a bit doubtful about like all this like highly processed food. And this is like from cereals to like me a sausage or something like that. I think that applies to all of that stuff.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. This highly processed food, I guess, is also often something which is supporting these psychosomatic illnesses and all these what more and more people are suffering by thinking that they have doing something good by eating something which is a so-called but don't know exactly what it is. And it's nice that you said that, and I completely agree with you. I mean, you are somebody who never did the way everybody does. You started also before you studied already with IT. You got already very early experience in this, and it was more important for you to get things done than to get your studies done. But you managed also that. And I think, I mean, I know this because I did this too to do studies besides working. This is hard and can be really, really tough because it needs somebody who's organized. It needs also the environment to play the part you would like to to play. Can you share with us maybe a few moments how you dealt with challenges during this time?
Yes, I just had a colleague that is also like doing the same. And then I was also like remembering a bit of the time when I did this, like working 8, 10 hours, sometimes 12 hours, and then in the evening going still to the university. And I said, and she also like was agreeing with me, like if your engine is already running, then it's like easier to continue. But if you just have a stop in the middle and then you slow down, then of course it's very hard to get up for. So for me, like in the weekdays, it was pretty easy to know, like just continue working. I was also like younger than now, but you know, and then having like not like a 10 hours day, like having like a 14 hours day or 16 hours day, that was okay. The hardest part for me was always like getting up on Saturdays because I also had like to study on Saturdays. And for me, like having sometimes like some party on a Friday or like meeting some people and then getting up on Saturday in the morning, being tired of the week, that was the hardest part for me. And that really needed some I say, like, discipline. At the end, it's all about discipline. I really believe that a lot of success comes to discipline and luck. So there are both factors, but it's hard to be lucky when you're not disciplined.
That's right. And I mean, I think you experienced discipline also in a very serious situation or a very serious situations, because you didn't go to military. You went to an acute lab at the German Heart Center. Was it also that you were confronted there with what disciplines means also in the end, if it comes to quick actions, really the right actions, and also a really, so-called, we don't need to talk with us, but we have to act together in a collaborative way as if we are one brain activities.
Yeah, I think that was like the first very important like school of life. After school, finishing school, we at that time was in Germany, was mandatory to either go to the military or do civil service. So I chose civil service, and then I went to this acute lab of the German Heart Disease Center. And that one thing was it was started very early in the morning. So that was the first thing that I had to learn: go up very early, be there at 7:30 every day. And then it was like that we had like this blood test samples that have to be done twice a day. So you had a huge wave of like blood samples that had to be done in a certain period of time. And everyone had to work together. And you know that if you mess it up, it really has a direct impact on like the health of a patient. So it's not that you can just, it's 7:30, you have to be up and running and then work together with your colleagues. And that wasn't a very interesting experience, and it of course taught me a lot, and I really benefited of that like early discipline later in my work life. Yeah.
And it's interesting because some people say that something like this can't go along with a working agile or democratic, but of course it hasn't has not some this can go along, but it's on a completely level, isn't it?
Yeah, I think also like I'm a strong believer that if things get complex, you also need to have clear structure. And that's what you also see like in the health sector. So you can work very collaboratively and creative, but at the same time, there has to be structure and there has to be procedure that you have to follow and that you can cling back to if it gets too complex. So we have to have a safe space. And that you see in the hospital very often. So I think that's a perfect example of both worlds if it's balanced the right way.
That's right. And you are somebody, I mean, we talked until now a lot about business, but we talked also a lot about people and also about behavior. Private life means a lot to you. You said you're a cook, and it seems that you are a great cook. So I got really appetite when you were describing that. But I'm eating really, really little meat. You got married on a very nice island, and you have two kids, and this means a lot to you. How can you combine it? And do you have special rituals with your family where you can get breathe again, where you get your power, where you also find the privacy and strengthen this environment we call family. And we have now 1 minute left, so I think it might be possible that we continue then after the break. But maybe a few words now.
I think for me, one thing is like really to create like rituals is a very important part of that. And that is, for example, like keeping the weekends work free as much as possible, and then
The
having
whole weekend.
huh?
The whole weekend.
I try to do that. I try to do that.
Wow,
Yeah, so
that's
I
great.
travel a lot in the week, and I really work like very long hours in the week, but I try as much as possible to keep the weekend off. And I try to protect this heavily. So, because then this means that I can see my kids still growing up, and they are 6 and 10 now, and that's an
Oh,
important time.
nice. Yes, that's a very important time. And I think it's very important also to spend quality time with them. And quality time we can spend also again after the break. So 3 minutes, we are back here. So please stay. And oh, yeah, we are back in 3 minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. Good.
optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, before the break, you told me that family means a lot to you, and you said that you keep your weekends free, and you have you might share these the secrets with us how you're doing this, because I know a lot of people which try to do this, but then and the calendar fills with a lot of work from the Thursday, from the Friday, there are a lot of unread emails and. The pressure is so high to get rid of this that in the end, it's then just the Sunday afternoon or the morning breakfast. And it is, I think it did satisfy people because it puts you under pressure and you can't fulfill the expectations of you and of your kids either, right?
Yeah, I think, and I always try to remind myself that especially like I think business success is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So, and you have to like every like marathon, you have to find the right pace. And this pace is like, of course, different to all of us. So everyone has their own pace. And I know what's the right pace for me to be consistent and that I don't get burnout, that I don't get sick, that I can live a healthy life. And I also feel like if I'm feeling healthy, good connect with my family and all that, I can even be more successful and more powerful and have more energy and be more engaging in my work life. So I think everyone benefits from that to keep this balance.
Mm. I think so too. And how do you manage it? I mean, two kids, a wife. Sometimes if you get a family father, a family mother, you forget about the life you had as being two. Do you have also special rituals with your wife to keep on going and developing your relationship?
Yes, of course, we also have that. So we try to do like this typical date nights, or we ask the grandparents to come over. I just recently had like a weekend together with my wife in Tallinn. So I was on a business trip to our headquarters in Estonia and had a full week of work. And then she came on Friday to me and we had a wonderful weekend together. So taking this opportunity is also when you're traveling of course, it's always like some hassle to organize these things. But I think at the end, you benefit from that and you can share a bit also like of your life, because this is also important for me that you also like share your reality with your partner. Yes,
that's right. And how is it about sharing reality with your kids? Is it that you can from time to time bring your kids also to work, that you see what you are doing, or do they just see you when you work home office?
I try not to work so much in the home office, because for me it's also very important to have a clear distinction in between like work and private life. So of course I can work from home, but I do this like Very seldom. But actually, my older daughter just had like school holidays some weeks ago, and she followed like for 2 days with me to the office. Of course, after a while, it got a bit boring, but it was funny to have her here, and also that she got an impression like how it is like having calls. And yes, was a fun experience for both of us.
I think it's great. And will you do this also with your younger with your younger daughter, or do you think she's still too young with 6 years?
Yeah, I think like now she's like started school this year, so she gets like more into this like bit work world as such. But actually, like my younger daughter really likes to build things, you know, with like paper and to create. She's a great creator, so maybe she would enjoy the office because we have so much stuff here, like scissors and papers and pens. Maybe it's a good idea. I should consider.
I think it's great for kids to join very early to see which reality the parents have besides and the time they are sharing, and understand also what it means for the parents, and that they just are sometimes in their frames and can't get out if the kids wish them to do so. And it might be also that you are then a better role model, right? That they can see what they want and what they don't want, but maybe they want to go into your footsteps and be then in a similar role.
Yeah.
It's very close that you, with your background and your values, stepped into sustainability. If you have to describe the sustainability and what it means really holistically for you, how would you describe sustainability?
I think like it's a, how to say, like a reasonable approach to using resources overall. So I think that's the main, like to be like thoughtful about resources, also like what has been, like what was the energy that has created these kind of resources, and so now being thoughtful in using them. I think that's the main approach for me to sustainability, because that also, like, I think raises the right questions. So do we really need that at the moment? Should we consider doing it differently? Why are we doing things? And of course, sometimes this is touching like privilege and touching also like behaviors that we're having that are like very, learned from a long while back. But I think I like this challenging dialogue. But at the end, we also have to be able to adopt this in our day-to-day life. I think there's also something like the same thing with the marathon. At the end, also sustainability is a marathon, and we cannot do sprints and overdo it. Yeah.
It's great that you are seeing this. I like this comparison, because a lot of people think that they have to do over activities, and the result we get out of this is frustration. Is that these people who are doing this and try to put then some lies around it, because the reality is not that what we wish, and in the end it doesn't help anybody, because it puts sustainability in a corner where it doesn't belong to, of lies, of regulations, of frustration and aggression. And I completely agree with you. We have to learn to do the marathon. We are used, and we think that everything can go with a snip, just as digitization. And we forget that nature, I mean, growing a tree is not just like this. It's something which takes years, centuries, sometimes hundreds of years. And I was attending a magic show from the Elrich Brothers a few days ago. And my kid was attending too. And he was super fascinated by a seed a magician took and put into earth. And then a kid could come on stage and put some water on it. And within 1 minute, it was a huge tree. And he said, "Oh my God, this is solving every sustainability problem."
No, that's funny. Yes, no, I really think it's a marathon. And I also think that sustainability is something that we should look at holistically. So it's not just about like carbon consumption. It's also about like the social aspects as well. It's about the impact that we are doing. It's about also like in the corporate world, a lot about governance. I think like it's like the typically ESG. So, but often people forget about the G. So it's also the governance aspect. To have a good governance is a very important part of like being a good corporate citizen, but also I think like for an economy to grow in the right direction. So this is like my view on that.
Do you think that a lot of people hasn't understood it and still think that sustainability is a kind of so-called just doing getting your ticks, doing what other people expect, doing what other regulations ask you for?
I think like now that I am working in an international environment and see like different countries and I see very different approaches to that. And unfortunately, for example, like in Germany, we see a lot more of that, like setting the tick in the box and really like just doing everything regarding governance and compliance. In the Nordics, I see a really like very different mindset. In the Nordics, I see a lot more like of the impact-driven thinking, and also like also from a business perspective to say like how can we actually use resources? How can we even like have higher margins by doing that? So it's not that this is just something that we do altruistic. It's also something that has a business acumen behind that. And then in the UK, for example, I think we have this very strong idea of social value. That is something that you really see in the UK and, and that did not really get adopted into other regions at the moment. So this also comes, of course, like with a lot of regulation compliance, but at the same time, it puts another or a different narrative into the question of sustainability and also the connection that business should have with communities. Yeah, so that's a different demand. We don't see that around the world.
And I mean, you're describing this, and I think a lot of people know that Scandinavian countries are fast, more there where others would love to be if it comes to civil rights, if it comes also to female, male rights, if it comes to family life combined with strong roles in high positions that kids are first and family is first, if it comes to digitization in schools, if it comes, there's so much Scandinavian countries do much better. Why does it come to that other countries are not adapting that? I mean, Germany, for example, if I look into the country and if I look at some schools, many schools, this is not a picture I like to see. And I'm feeling sad for many kids have to attending schools which are not forcing this idea of which is spread out in Scandinavian schools.
I think I don't, of course, I don't know how to cure that, but what I can just see like is the difference that I spot is that often in the Nordics, people are, even if they're like getting older, still open for a change.
Yes.
So that's a huge difference. So we had like a birthday party of my parents-in-law and my mother-in-law, she became 16. So she had a lot of friends coming over to Berlin and we just organized a little party for them. And then I was talking to them and actually like 80% of the crowd was like coming from around Stockholm, Sweden, all across the country. And they came by train. And then I asked them, like, why didn't you take the plane? Because, you know, it's so easy to take a plane from Stockholm, from Gothenburg, Malmö, and so on to Berlin. I said, like, why did you? And they said, but Ulle, you know, like, climate change. And you know, they were all like 60 plus five years plus minus. So I was like, really, like, in a positive way, puzzled, because I was thinking, like, would I see the same and the same, like, peer group in Germany? I don't know. Yeah,
I don't think so.
Like, taking a lot of them because, like you know, like taking the German Bahn and then going for Denmark to Sweden, it wasn't like a very soft trip for them. But still, they took.
How many hours was it? Can you share this?
Like it takes you about like 12 hours. Yeah, and you could just do like a 3-hour trip by plane. So it's like with the airport, because it's like a flight to Copenhagen, it's 20 minutes. And then, so you're just taking the ferry on the other side or the bridge. So or Stockholm is like 2 hours from Berlin. So yeah, I was really positively surprised, but it was more about this like ability to adopt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one thing that we really all, I think like we all need to be able to embrace this change. And my work life changed like 180 degree after Corona. Really, it really changed. Also like how to be a leader, how to work with team. Like I used to be like very much in the office. I loved to talk with people like informally. Mm-hmm. And now we have all this like video calls. So it's different. I also had to relearn how to lead teams virtually.
I can imagine.
That's one thing that we all, I think, have to adopt the ability to change.
Chris, I mean, you said emotionally, and this is a word which gives me the link to ask you this question. Because I mean, if you are together with people virtually, you just see a part of them. You don't see often what they do with their hands, how they are staying. It is not that it's a one-to-one meeting, but you get the impressions of eye, face, everything as a few seconds later. So, how could you improve this, or what did you do to improve this?
I think what I really try is that at least like once in a while to meet the teams and meet the people in person. Because like if you know someone like from like a personal encounter, it's much easier to read this person, and then also like into like an in video situation to get a sense, are they doing well? Is there something? Should you address something? And also it's much easier to also like talk a bit informally about like the private life and so on. So I think there is no way around of meeting people. Of course, sometimes it's hard. I also have like a team in Canada, so with the time zone and with the travel, that's not that easy to meet that often. The other thing, what I really think is like to try to address that very openly. Also, like to agree on certain rules. So I'm pretty open about like how to reach me, what's the best way, how to communicate. I also ask that from my peers, like what's important for you. Whenever we have such a situation, we need to be more open, and then we need to agree on things openly. I think that helps also.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, you said you gave us a citation, a motto: "Those who can laugh together can work together." I love that you wrote that, because I sometimes feel that we are in a society which is, on the one hand, too serious or too depressed, too negative, and on the other hand, too fancy, too funny, but not in a real way of being humorous, or just living love and laughter and humor.
Yeah, but that also like requires, from my point of view, that you question your own culture and that you're open to other cultures, because also humor is something that can be very different in different cultures. That is very funny in one part of the world, is very unfunny in another one. So also like being open about that and also understanding that and also like talking openly about that is something that is helping a lot. But like for me, getting into an international role, I really had to question my culture a lot more, and being much more open, and also asking myself, okay, why do I react to that in that matter? Yeah, that's really important.
Yeah, that's right. Unfortunately, our talk comes to an end, and I would like to ask you to share a few hacks with us, maybe from how to keep yourself organized, what are you doing for your beauty and wellness routine and longevity routine? It could be also some great Scandinavian hacks or Scandic hacks.
I think for me, what's really important, what I can just recommend, is like really to exercise regularly. So I just do like 3 times a week, half an hour exercise, and that really keeps the machine going. And that's like really all about consistency. And it also like shuts your head off a bit. So even if you're stressed and you do exercise, it forces you to forget. And that's a good thing. And then to breathe and come back. And often then you find a solution to things where you thought that they are not. That you're not able to find a solution there. The next part, I think, is also like delegate. We often do too much by ourselves because we don't dare to delegate. I think it's about like something to be brave to delegate and to learn and to trust people and give like trust in advance. And I think we all should like always, when we feel like overworked, we should look at ourselves and ask, did I take all the opportunities that I had to delegate? Because if I delegate a task, I give other people the opportunity to grow. So I think my two things, like personally, exercise and professional delegate, these are the two most important hacks.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much, Ola. I'm very happy that we could have you today in the talk show, and I wish we could talk longer, because I know that you have much, much more to say, and I'm looking forward to staying in contact with you. So now we are heading further to the next small break. So please stay tuned, and we will move forward afterwards with this great book.
Thank you.
UK House Thank Radio, you. The station that makes you feel good.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with a skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck. Fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we continue with this great, great book, which is A Guide to Life, the Universe, and Everything It Says From Itself. The title is And So It Begins. And the author of this is Stephanie King. You haven't heard about her? You will hear about her. And now. So this book serves as a spiritual guide designed to empower readers to unlock their life purpose, improve self-awareness, and achieve personal growth. Using direct and conversational language, King offers readers to reassess their lives, clear emotional blockades, and establish deeper connections with their spiritual selves. The book's interactive format describes as a truth miner and a truth mirror, encourages active participation, making it suitable for anyone seeking to reconnect with their goals or overcome life challenges. Its unique blend of metaphysical insights and practical advice and for its accessibility to both spiritual beginners and seasoned seekers. Stephanie J. King is a spiritual mentor, author, and speaker renowned for her transformative insights into human potential. A self-described soulpreneur, King has dedicated her life to helping individuals realize their potentials through spiritual awakening and guidance. Her career has been shaped by her deep connection to that she terms spirit, which influences her books and workshops. Her journey was marked by all the challenges, which sparked her interest in understanding life's purpose and helping others navigate their personal journeys. Besides, And So It Begins, she authored Life is Calling and conducts soul development workshops. So about the book, it was written to bridge the gap between spiritual insights and practical life guidance. King aimed to provide readers with a resource to actively engage with spirituality and overcome obstacles in real time. The book reflects her philosophy that understanding one's soul agenda can transform daily life and relationships. Her motivation stemmed from observing common struggles in people's lives and wanting to create a tool that encourages self-empowerment and holistic well-being. So I would like to give you now seven tips from the book. First, reassess your past to identify patterns and let go of unhelpful behaviors. Tune into your life purpose by recognizing your talents and strengths. Embrace forgiveness to break free from emotional burdens. Stay present and grounded to connect with your spiritual guides. Engage with the book, of course, as an interactive tool to deepen self-awareness. Use life challenges as opportunities for growth and transformation. Practice gratitude and positivity to foster better relationships and outcome. So I would like to finish the review of the book with five quotes from the author. She says, "You have more power over life than you realize. Each action and thought contributes to the greater whole. Turn life around by viewing challenges as opportunities. What you give out will always come back to you in abundance. Life is about clearing the clutter and letting the best possibilities filter in." This book is an empowering manual for anyone seeking clarity and purpose, written with King's distinctive blend of warmth and profound insight. And there I will do a bit of reading from this book because I think you will like it. It's written in a very personal style. And I will start with, "And so we begin to wake up. We are all the same. We share our same hopes, the same dreams. We all look for love, acknowledgement, comfort, and hope. We would all like world peace and world health. Each and every one of us is entitled to the most basic of human necessities at our birthright. We look to our parents to love and to guide us, know us, at least as far as we know ourselves, and to be proud of who we are trying to be. We look to our friends for upliftment and to share our good times. We look to our siblings and children for a sense of belonging and understanding. We look to many people for many different reasons, but do we ever really look at ourselves? Do we know ourselves as well as we think we do? My guess is that we don't, not often or anyway. Yeah, we expect, completely expect, others to know what we want, what we are about, and what we are thinking all the time. We look to others to mend the broken parts of ourselves that even we can't fix, and then we wonder why life continually falls short of our expectations. But is it really any wonder in reality? We are our own worst enemy, traveling through life, dashing here, there, and everywhere, without often achieving or aiming or anything. We proceed miles along pathways that need never to be traveled at all. So much time is wasted and being busy that need not need to be spent if we would only realize there are many patterns we repeat. I, too, travel along this road. It's as if we need to be busy in order to prove our own worth, to prove we can cope and keep up when in reality we don't. There is no need. We could achieve more, but much more by consolidating our activities and focusing our attention on the task in hand. How often do we mindlessly perform menial tasks as our attention haphazardly wanders all over the place? It takes us 2 or 3 minutes and 2 or 3 times as long to perform something we could do in a quick snap if we put our mind to it and focus properly. We rarely consider the connection between the task we are doing and thoughts we are thinking whilst doing them. Energy flows where attention goes, and given that our attention wanders freely and well, no wonder we are tired and lethargic at the most inopportune times. I'm also guilty of that. I waste my energy like water down a drain, and it's only with practice that we can stop. But how can we stop until someone tells us or highlights just what we are doing in the first place? We are not taught things such as this ordinary, and then we wonder why time flies by so drastically fast, while we rarely achieve what we set out to do in a day. With our head in the future, the present that we experience sprints by. It's easily done. We hold imaginary conversations with those we're intending to speak to. We pre-enact dramas as if to practice what needs to be said and imagine what will happen in response. Then, when the event comes to be, we wonder why those concerned do not react as we thought or imagined they would. Instead of relying completely on the moment we are in, we reach into the future and rehearse it, either in our own mind or in conversational form with colleagues or friends. And the same can be said on the past. Not the distant past, but this morning, yesterday, last week, we reprise in areas as we would have liked them to be so often that we recompute and add to the memory over and over again. How can we ever know the truth or let life take its course when we are not even present in its own. We must experience every moment exactly the way it occurs, innocently, spontaneously, without preconception or rehearsal. How can we know how others will respond when life has not even got to that point yet? The answer is that we cannot possibly know. We think we do, based on past performance and experience, but really we don't know at all. Each and every day, every moment, every event is individual. No two experiences are totally alike, so how can we anticipate them correctly? We can help ourselves, but only in the moment we are in, and the time frame of now. Yesterday has been and gone. Tomorrow is not yet here. And 100 things could happen in the meantime, so it stands to reason that only now can matter. It is here that love is actually taking place. It is here that we can make a difference to our future, to life's outcome, one step, one second, one minute at a time. It is here that all change is possible, where what we do and what we think count for something. Now is important, too important to be left unattached to conscious thought. All the decisions that need to be made are only of value in the now. All of life occurs at its highest state, its highest energy potential and frequency in the now. Now. Now is all that matters. Now is the only real-time windows that exist, while life's potency, fine-tuning, precision, and conception take place. This is not to say we should throw caution to the wind and totally ignore tomorrow. On the contrary, our thoughts of the future show us the direction we want to travel in, the goals we need to head towards, but it is only in the now that those changes can begin to take shape. One step, one decision, at one time. Many hours are spent in longing. We long for different physical looks, lifestyles, bigger and better jobs, houses, cars, and attachments. Few are content with what they themselves have accomplished. And this is sad. We have more available to us in every way than we care to imagine. Yet deep inside, many of us are disappointed, disconnected, and angry. I, too, have experienced my fair share of this kind of life. I, too, had to go within to understand what was going on. Each goal that we reach should make us happy. But instead of enjoying the experience, we look past it, ahead to the next. How can we ever be pleased with our lot when we keep changing our mind and direction? There lies a paradox. We don't know our own mind. We don't even know what we want. Yes, we have an idea. We really believe that we do know, yet when we finally get there, reality falls short of high expectations and we feel that in many ways, nothing has changed at all. We have all experienced this countless times in many forms. And this is also why we go through so many major life changes today. It used to take a whole complete lifetime to build up a home, a career and raise a family. But today, we can experience as many different lifestyles as we see fit. We are complex machines, capable of so much, but too often achieving so little. Many of us never reach our goals, or fulfill our dreams or our desires. And the saddest thing of all is that often we don't even realize that we can. And here I decided to read a bit further. Because we have a bit of time left, but sorry, I would like to normally show you. We'll show you later on. So, only we can make the life we lead a happy one. We have traveled far to experience all that we have, to live, love, be happy and content, to make a difference and contribute in some way. We think that at death all is over, that it's too late, that our time is up forever, and that we must face our marker. As well as reviews our flaws, but what we don't realize is the truth, that life carries on from the point where we seemingly leave off, just on another level, that's all. Life continues. We are eternal. We do not die because we cannot die. There is no death for humanity, only change. We relinquish our physical bodies to return to physical dust, but we ourselves continue and live on it in a more transparent, pure energy form. What we do with our life, what we make of our choices and chances does matter. It matters very much. Because when we get home, when all is said and done, it's too late to active or physically accomplish anymore. At that point, we will be the sum total of the person we were before our life's journey, plus all we have gained for us on Earth. So it is here on Earth that we matter the most. It is only here, in the now, that we can make any difference, either to the planet or to ourselves. As we have seen, man is the keeper of his own life. He is the master of his own destiny, and no one up on the planet can tell him otherwise. Yes, he has responsibilities, but even those are the outcome of past events or present necessity, other than that he is free to come and go as he pleases. He alone makes up the rules that he must live by. He is responsible for the day-to-day running of his life. At some point in the past, he himself made every decision for which he now faces the consequences. Regardless of whether these were made in the haste or not, or whether the outcome seems good or bad, he is responsible for exactly what he faces today. Again, I hear people say, but what about this? What about that? If only other people had done this or that. If only so-and-so had not placed me in that situation or that predicament. If these people didn't touch me. If these people didn't say against me. There will always be 1,000 if onlys, buts, and maybes. But the truth will always remain the same. Each decision that was taken along the pathway has played a contributing role in the current situation. And as every day passes, we make the best decisions we can at any given moment that occurs. How many of us can relate to this? How many of us have done and said things that in hindsight we should or should not have done? But at the end of the day, we are only human. And unless someone stands here and cries, hey, this is a better way, we carry on regardless. For our own worst enemies, we are all guilty of this trait. But then isn't that what being human is all about? We all like a quick fix. Yes. And if we see a shortcut, it would be unnatural for us not to take it. Only sometimes it may not be the best option in the long run. Only things won through effort over time can be sturdy and long-lasting. The rest will fall by the wayside as quickly and as easily as it appeared. When we search deeply within, when we see any situation from the correct viewpoint or bottom line, any options available can become clear, and so does the best route to take. We have already examined how we, when we are young, we look to our elders for direction and leadership. But what we don't realize is that those elders themselves are still searching for their own direction and answers in life. So this is about the book. And I think there's a lot more to say and read from the book, but I hope you get some ideas from the book which you can use for yourself. And I hope that you got also from the talk show some ideas today which you can put into your everyday life. And to conclude, I would like to share also with you that I'm very happy that you're here. And I'm very happy that some of you sent me recommendations for book and for people. So that wraps up our episode now of We Empower. And remember, this time is a gift for you to discover new inspiration, embrace exciting insights, and find the motivation to live life to the fullest. Don't hesitate to get involved. Thank you for being part of our community. And until next time, keep shining and empowering others. Together, we rise.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the